Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. So it says here, "What advantage then hath the Jew?" That's where I get the title, "The Jewish Advantage." "Or what profit is there of circumcision?" Again, that's just referring to the Jews. The circumcision is the Jewish nation of Israel, and the uncircumcision, it refers to the Gentiles, the non-Jews in the world. "Much every way chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." Now, well, let's just go ahead and read a few verses just in case I forget. Just verse 3 and 4. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar." I just like that and I wanted to read it. Glad I read it. "As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let God be true and every man a liar." So, here, I wrote this down ahead of time in case I forgot to write something down, if I were to just have a clean board here. But over here on the left, I'll explain what it is. I have here the Jewish people, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And then the time of Christ, specifically the crucifixion. And it's at the death of Christ that the New Testament begins. Testament is not in effect until the death of the testator, the Bible says. So at the New Testament there, God turns away from the nation of Israel and His dealings with them and turns to the Gentiles and sends the gospel into all the world, and we call this the church age. Again, we're not the only ones that call this the church age, but other groups do with different sets of beliefs. But that's the church age there. And then you have here, at the conclusion of the church age is the rapture, like we've talked about. Then you have the Jewish tribulation, followed by the second advent or the millennial kingdom. So that's explaining what's going on here. This red arrow refers to the second advent or second coming of Christ. So as we take a look at Romans chapter 3, I'm going to explain each of these parts and why I drew them up there. Romans chapter 3, verse number 1, "What advantage then hath the Jew?" Paul is saying that because in Romans chapter 1, Paul had just got through talking about how the world is in trouble. We're in bad shape because of sin. And the Gentiles as well as the Jews are all under sin. We all have the same sin problem. So Paul says, then what advantage does the Jew have? Or what profit is there of circumcision? What profit was there of becoming a Jew, becoming circumcised, and raising your family as a Jewish family? What profit was there? And then Paul says, much every way, chiefly, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. But as far as salvation is concerned, there's no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. As far as salvation is concerned, there's no advantage for the Jew or the Gentile. Everyone has to be saved in this age the same way. Repentance and faith. Okay? And faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. So as far as salvation is concerned, there's no difference between us and the Jews. In Christ, the Jew and Gentile distinction is lost, and we're all the same. But the oracles, or the words of God that are written down, they were given to the Jews. So they have an advantage there. In the Old Testament, all of those writers of the 39 books that we recognize as books of our Old Testament, all written by Jewish writers. All of the revelations came to Jewish men. God called out Abraham, and Abram in the beginning, and then changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations, and changed his name to that, and then God, from Abram, elected a nation. And so the way that you get into Abraham or God's elected or chosen nation is you have to be born physically into it of the seed of Abraham, of his heritage. And then God gave national promises to his nation, his special people, his chosen people. He gave national promises to them and he gave them the scriptures. And that's a pretty good advantage. What a privilege it is to be the people to whom God gave the oracles. But as an individual Jew, there is no difference between him and you tonight. We have to know that. We're all under the same condemnation of sin. But as a nation, the promises were given to the Jews, and the oracles were given to the Jews, and the land, which is what we'll talk about in Daniel, the land was given to the Jews. And God never changed his mind about that. That's why this arrow is going over here, to where the promises are fulfilled, and to where the word of God is fulfilled. But what has happened during the church age is in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. What has happened during the church age is that God has partially blinded Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse number 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. Paul is talking to the brethren, those that are in the body of Christ, where there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile. So Paul is talking to Christian brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. What is this mystery? This mystery here is referring to the blindness of Israel. This is one of the mysteries that preachers are charged to preach. And when is the last time you heard a preacher preach about the blindness of Israel? Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. So don't get all full of yourself because God's doing a great work with the Gentiles right now. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So during the church age, because Israel rejected their king and they said, we'll have no king but Caesar, they rejected God's plan for the nation. Therefore, God judged them with blindness. Somebody says light rejected becomes darkness. And so during this time, God shut down the nation. The nation was broken up. Titus coming in 70 AD destroyed their capital, destroyed their temple. They cannot worship as a nation. They can't even fulfill their own scriptures in the Torah. And we have what we call today the diaspora. God has dispersed Israel all over the world. They're blinded. Paul says that when Israel now looks on the Old Testament, the veil is over their eyes. And he's referring to when Moses came down from the mountain after being with God and receiving the Ten Commandments and everything that came along with that. Moses came down and his face shone. And so Israel said, cover up your face, you're scaring us. And that's my paraphrase on it. And so he put a veil on his face. Paul said that Israel, they have a veil on their face. And they look at their own scriptures, they can't understand it. They don't see their Messiah in it. And they don't see the fulfillment of prophecy during this time. What's that?
That is going from the law to grace.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yep. But they, not only that, they're trying to work their way to heaven, but they're blinded to the look at the Old Testament. They don't see Jesus. Like Paul said in Hebrews. Paul said in Hebrews, Jesus is more excellent than all of these things. And Paul showed some of the places where Jesus fulfilled things in the Old Testament. They don't see any of that. That's why he wrote Hebrews to the Hebrews, because they're blind from those things. And yes, they are definitely trying to work their way to heaven, and they don't see grace. But May 14th, 1948, you know what happened then? Israel becomes a nation again. That right there is fulfillment of prophecy. When you read Matthew chapter 24, the fig tree budding, you got to understand, when you're reading Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Jews. He's not talking to anybody right here. You got to get it. You got to rightly divide it and put it where it belongs. Matthew 24 and 25 is right here. The fig tree budding is May 4th, 1948. And since then, the Jews have started coming back to their homeland. These scriptures that we're going to read, these scriptures are warnings to the United Nations. Look at verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He said, all Israel shall be saved. What does that mean? Well, they went back to their land. They're going to continue to come back to their land. And that's what we're going to see more and more, is the nation of Israel coming back to their land. That's what we see today. In Israel, they have technology that everybody in the world wants. They have medical advancements that everybody wants. They have just copyrights on a lot of things that people are trying to get a hold of. People are really jealous of the Jews right now. And oil and gas. Yeah. Fruits and vegetables. So agriculture.
Some of the greatest cut flowers in the world.
Yeah.
Like Hooker said, the land's so fertile that just grows it all along Europe.
There you go. Mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. So you have prophecy being fulfilled during this age. Can they see it? No. No, they're blind. They're blind. But does that mean that no Jews are getting saved? No, some Jews are getting saved. And they're few, but some Jews are getting saved. Now, God is going to turn from this branch that's been grafted in. The wild branch is the church, been grafted into the good olive tree. God is going to turn back to the Jews. But in doing so, after the church goes up in the rapture and the Jewish tribulation, you'll have a remnant. You'll have a remnant of Israel. Let's keep on reading here just a second. He says, this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Paul was a Jew going about killing Christians when he was converted. So the Jews were the enemies of the Christians during the time of this writing. But as touching the election, they are loved for the Father's sake. Now, do you understand what you're reading? The election. God chose this nation to be His promised people, His special people, giving promises, covenants to. The election, God never changed His mind about that. Okay? During this time right here, the Jews are our enemies. For the sake of the gospel, is God done with them? No, Paul clearly says no. God will one day, look in verse 27, He's going to take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies. And then notice verse number 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God made some promises here. God gave some gifts to this nation. And God will not repent of it. If God calls you to do something, calls you to preach, calls you to do something for Him, God doesn't change His mind about it. I know of a lot of preachers that think that God has somehow revoked His calling on them and they no longer preach. Well, the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't change His mind. Might be a backslidden preacher, but you're still called to preach. And God does not revoke His gifts and His callings. So what we have here is we'll have Israel now going into what we'll study, Daniel's 70th week, the Jewish tribulation. And he says, all Israel shall be saved. What is he referring to? Look at Romans 9, verse 27. He's referring to the remnant of Israel that's left. Those that are truly Israel, 9:27. Those that are circumcised in heart. And not just in their flesh. Those who have the faith of Jesus Christ and the testimony of the law. In the tribulation, verse number 27 of chapter 9. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. You see that? There's a core group within the multitudes. And that core group of people who are truly Israelites, circumcised in heart, like Jesus said, those people, that remnant, will be saved. They will be fleeing for their lives, and God's going to take care of them in the tribulation, just like He took care of the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness. When He fed them with manna, He's going to do it again. He's going to take care of them miraculously and protect them from the enemy. Chapter 11, verse number 5. Even so then, at this present time, during the church age, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God knows who they are. Now, here's something that ought to excite you. Jesus said, Matthew 24, when you see all these things come to pass, the budding of the fig tree, all of these things, that generation won't pass away until all of those things be fulfilled. He wasn't talking about the generation that he was speaking to in person. You've got to understand, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus will go from talking about something happening right then to talking about something that's going to happen way out yonder. Why? Because they rejected their Messiah. It's the same way when we read in different books of the Bible, whether it's the Gospels, whether it's Old Testament prophets, whether it's some of the things that are said in the book of Hebrews, or even in James, and then also in Revelation, some of those things will be in different places prophetically. The generation that starts right here, say somebody who was born in 1948, a Jewish man born in 1948, will live to see this. His generation will live to see this. That's why when this happened, a lot of Bible teachers started getting really excited. Papa Bush was born in what, like 1920? Okay, he's lived 100 years. Somebody born in 1948, if we're correct, will see this. They'll see the tribulation. They'll live to go into it. They'll walk right into it. And then during this time, maybe they'll hear the gospel. There's 144,000 that are sealed going about preaching the gospel. Maybe they'll hear the gospel and become saved, and then they will truly be Jewish Christians. Now, during this time, there's not supposed to be any Jewish Christians. There's no Jew, there's no Gentile. We're all the same. During this time, there certainly will be.
Tribulation but, there is, what, 7 years?
Yes, 7 years of tribulation. Yep. That ends with the second advent. And then this here, this is really important. King Jesus sits on His throne in the thousand-year millennium. This is a Jewish kingdom. What advantage does the Jew have? Well, they are the superior race. You say the Bible doesn't teach races. The Bible does teach races. And the Bible says, what advantage does the Jew have? The race of the Jews. And then Paul says, much every way, chiefly because the oracles were delivered to them. But also, because one of these days, much to the chagrin of Iran and Pakistan and Russia and the United Nations and New York City, much to their chagrin, this world will be ruled by the Jews and by King Jesus, a Jew. In Jerusalem, God put them right in the center of all the nations to be a light on a hill. And they didn't fulfill their purpose. But one day, all of God's purposes will be fulfilled. So I wanted you to look at a couple of passages to see that from the scripture before we wrap it up tonight. So God made a promise to give the land to Jacob's seed. Let's go back to Romans chapter or Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Let's follow a few of these scriptures. God made a promise to give the land to Jacob's seed. And God never changed His mind. You will not find in the scriptures where it says that God repented of giving them the land. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And God did not reject the Jews totally, although there are large Christian denominations today who believe that God did reject the Jews totally, and that we have replaced the nation of Israel, and that is heresy. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Folks, I don't mind at all, and it's well within my rights, and I believe well within the responsibility that's been committed to me to tell you that you ought to be registered, you ought to vote. I'm not supposed to tell you specific candidates to vote for, but I should tell you the issues. And I'm just going to tell you this. This is my simple way of handling it. Be registered, vote. You say, why? Because you should do any good that you possibly can. If you see some opportunity to do some good and you don't do it, you know, do you think that's Christian? I mean, whatever the matter is, if you had the opportunity to protect somebody, wouldn't you do it? Well, sure you would. Well, there's no difference between going to the going to vote than there is between helping somebody that might be in distress. You ought to take every opportunity that you can to do good and try to persuade the nation in one way to do right and to vote in people who will get things done that we know that are right. So we need to be voting our conscience. That means voting against baby killers. That means voting against people who are anti-Semitic, who are against the Jews. And there are people like that. I tell you what, if you're a white supremacist skinhead, well, you're sure in the wrong group. Because the way this thing all turns out, God's going to have the Jews running this world for 1,000 years. And so you got that one wrong. You're on the wrong side of it. And we ought to be voting for somebody that is pro-Israel and voting for somebody who is who wants to keep the rights of the people intact, those kind of things. But we need that as a country, because our country, I think we're skating on real thin ice. You know, I think it's getting late in the winter, and the ice is getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and it's going to start to turn to spring, and I believe our nation is just hanging by a thread. And we need to be pro-Israel. We need to be praying for Israel. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old. So there was the promise given unto Abraham that God is going to make a nation. Ever since that time, God called out of the nation of Israel a Messiah, right? That was his whole purpose in raising up the nation. But ever since that time, the Jewish nation has been attacked by Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, the Greeks, the Romans, the Germans, and now the United Nations. All of them either tried or are trying to destroy them. You know what's behind that? The devil. And the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, that's the book right before Matthew, the Bible says that Israel will never be consumed. But, yeah, they'll never be consumed. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If you want to get rid of the Jews, you're going to have an awful hard time, because their existence is connected to God's very nature, the eternal existence of God. He doesn't change, therefore, you're not going to get rid of the nation of Israel. God says they're not consumed. That reminds me of the burning bush that Moses saw at the very beginning of the birth of their nation when they left Israel. Moses saw that burning bush. It was not consumed. No matter how long he looked at it, it was burning and burning and burning, but it was never consumed. And Israel's just like that. That nation has been through so many fiery trials, yet they're not consumed. And if you want to get rid of the Jews, we'll wrap it up here in this one. Maybe a couple more. If you want to get rid of the Jews, I'll show you how to do it. In Jeremiah 31, here's how you get rid of the Jews. There are people in the capital of our nation tonight, and they want to get rid of the Jews. They want to give their land, continue to give their land to the Palestinians. Some of them want to give aid, give military aid, and give money to nations that want to destroy Israel. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 31. So if some of those people up in the capital want to get rid of the Jews, this is how you do it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. I'm going to come back to that. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. I'll come back to that. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances, referring to the sun, the moon, and the stars, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. You see that? If you want to get rid of the Jews, all you have to do is get rid of the sun, moon, and the stars. And that's an impossibility. And when you touch Israel, you're putting your finger in the apple of God's eye. And that's why God has judged our nation, partially, is because of the way that we've treated Israel in the past with past presidential candidates. And God's people are still special to him, even though they're rascals, even though they're very proud, very arrogant, and even though they are difficult people to live with, and they're very wealthy people, and they've done a lot of rotten things, the nation of Israel has. You better believe it. And I heard from one Jew, he said, next time you talk to a Jew, don't just talk about how wonderful they are and how much you love their nation and all this stuff. And he said, just witness to them and give them the gospel because they're sinners just like everybody else. But as a nation, we better take care of the Jews or that will be the downfall of our nation. So all you have to do is just get rid of God and get rid of the creation that he made. Then you can get rid of the Jews and that's not going to happen. But notice there in verse number 33. Okay, so in verse number 33, read that, talking about putting the law of God in their hearts, forgiving their sins. Now, in the New Testament, we find a second application of this, where Paul applies this to Christians in the church age. But the first application of this is to the Jews. This is where you have to understand how the Bible works. The first application is to the Jews. Paul takes something and talks about the law being written in our hearts for Christians, and he applies that to the nation or to the church. But this applies first to the nation of Israel. It's obvious by its context and by its setting. Not only that, you can't put this doctrinally, and in its first application, you cannot put it on the church. It's impossible to. You say, why is it impossible to? Well, only Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, can use it and refer to it to refer to the church. But look at it. In verse number 34, in verse number 33, I'll put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Somebody said, that's the church. God's all done with the Jews. That's nonsense. Verse 34, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Wait a minute. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But Jesus is saying that when I put my law into their hearts and when I become their God again and they become my people again, it'll be illegal. It'll be outlawed. It'll be banned to evangelize. No more proselytizing. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. But listen, your job right now in the church age is to go talk to your neighbor and go talk to your brother and tell them that you know the Lord and you want them to know the Lord. And you want them to get saved. This is not the church age. For they shall all know me. This ain't the church age. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the Son for light. You see that? This remnant that comes out of here, out of the Jewish tribulation, when they go into the Jewish kingdom, Jesus said, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. I'm going to forget about all the sins of the nation of Israel. They're all done with. In this Jewish kingdom, everybody will know him. Everybody in that remnant, they'll all have perfect knowledge of the Lord. He'll put the law into their hearts so that they will keep his law. He'll put it into their hearts. He'll be there with them presently. And at that time, Jesus will not allow anybody to go throughout the world preaching any gospel. There will be no cults started because it'll be outlawed. And there'll probably be a rod of iron come down on their backs if they try to go about and spreading religious ideas and things like that. Because there will be one standard for truth, and that'll be Jesus Christ. Amen. On the earth. So if you want to evangelize somebody, now is your chance to evangelize. Now, he says, go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. And then when you study your Bible, be careful with what you're doing with the Word of God, because if you don't keep in mind about the Jews and the distinction between them and the church, you'll get your Bible all messed up, which was my purpose for showing all of this, to show you that there is an advantage for the Jews. And this thing that God is doing with the church age, it's kind of like a parenthesis in his plan for this world. It's something that was hidden in the Old Testament. They didn't see it. The Jews still don't see it because they're blind. This church is just going to be taken up. And our purpose in the millennial kingdom is to reign with Jesus Christ and also to be a testimony to the glory of his grace. We're just going to be there to brag on the goodness of the Lord. Okay, so we stopped early tonight. I actually did it. Is there anybody that would like to say anything or ask a question?
Is that part of Paul's ministry, right?
Yes.